Hello and welcome to the Mindset Podcast, and this is your host Alex Muir, helping millennial professionals maximize their performance. And in today's episode, episode 23, we're going to be speaking with Ty Glover. Ty is a personal performance expert trainer. He's a proven innovator with a track record of developing change ideas, and he's the host of the Think Different Nation podcast, and is passionate about helping high-performing individuals take advantage of their natural cognitive and behavioral strengths to increase their effectiveness across all other areas of their lives. He understands that successful individuals subconsciously leverage their instinctive traits to create lasting achievement. Yet, so many highly motivated individuals don't understand from where their strengths are derived. Now, in this episode, me and Ty are going to delve into some of the areas in which we can do more self-reflection, be more curious, and practice more self-discovery. And please welcome Ty Glover to the podcast. And this episode is brought to you by RadioGuestList.com, the number one free radio guest podcast and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet. Yeah, so I was doing a little research on you there, and I saw some really cool stuff as far as, like, you know, assessments related to, you know, figuring out what your strengths are and similar stuff to Myers-Briggs. So I'm very intrigued by what you might have to say about all that, because I've been kind of going through my own self-reflection time throughout this pandemic. And I've actually spent a lot of time doubling down on my podcast because I've just noticed I feel in flow and I feel in a rhythm with it. So that's I'm really paying attention to that and really listening to my intuition more.
Yeah. What's your skill by trade?
My skill by trade, I went to school for finance, but I've transitioned to marketing over the last few years. Mm-hmm. So I finished banking, I would say, in 2017. And then the last few years has just been marketing. So, okay. Yeah.
And so you don't think it's really you?
Yeah, no. The finance, at first I was very fascinated by it. And I was totally smitten by it. I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like I could do this forever. And then as I got deeper into the industry and I was, you know, I spent 4 years doing it, I just felt it wasn't entirely my fit near the end there, because I went from retail banking to branch banking. They're very different. Okay. Because retail banking is kind of when you have kind of like a boutique, right? Okay. Either located in a grocery store, you have like the storefront, you know, bank kind of that way.
Gotcha. So,
and then transitioning to branch banking, that was more, you know, very corporate, very, you know, it's their system and they're not, you know, you don't really have any leeway of doing anything creative. So that I felt that kind of killed my creativity. And I feel I'm naturally inclined to doing creative things. Okay. And I need that creative space to do so. So, yeah.
So how are you finding it within the podcast itself? For example, I started doing a podcast, a little bit ago, probably right at COVID-19, I was preparing for it prior, but I started getting into the podcast and I'm finding that I'm overworked.
Oh, yeah?
I can't do it all. You know, no. I can't do it all. And I'm having to give some things up. It's just a matter of deciding which ones to give up.
No, I hear you on that. Yeah. Especially with what's going on with the pandemic right now.
Right.
At one point, before the pandemic hit, I was trying to aim for 1 to 2 podcast episodes a week.
Okay.
And then as soon as the pandemic hit, you know, I was doing that fairly consistently because I got laid off work on March 19th. Okay. So I was laid off for 2 months until May 19th.
Okay.
And I used that time to really double down and try and get as many interviews as I could. And I pretty much was able to get around 20 interviews in 2 months. So, you know, it was pretty good, but at the same time,
doing nothing else during that time.
Exactly. If you're doing, as soon as people go back to work, right. And as soon as I got back to work, things changed a little bit. I had to dial it back because, you know, I don't know how it is for everyone else, but I know for a fact that a lot of people having to go back to work that are able to go back to work that are working full time, they're having to take on more roles at work and they're getting the same salary or they're, you know, they're just, they got to wear more multiple hats. So it makes things a lot more challenging to fit everything in that you want to fit in, like you said. So,
yeah, it's been a challenge for me because I've got a full-time job. I'm a consultant, you know, 50 hour plus week job. I've also got a business I started called Invest Out, where I partner homeowners who know their homes could sell for more if renovated with investors who go in there, do the money on their own. They do the renovation of the property. When the homeowner sells the property, the investor gets their money back plus a good share of that increased value. So that's a business that I conceived about, I'd say about 2 years ago, and is just kind of coming to fruition right now. So I've got that ball to carry in addition to launching what I believe is an incredible product with Think Different Nation. So I understand what you're saying about having a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's something that I don't know how I would do anything differently.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. If you don't have a lot going on, then like, what are you doing? Right. Then like most people just will revert to watching TV or reading the whole time or lots of family time. Like there's not really much else to do besides those things. Right. Like,
well, but see, that's where I'm challenging a little bit because I'm saying that, if that's you, then that's you. And there's no thought or concern or anything else about that. But we're all wired in certain ways to desire certain things, to have drive in certain directions. I mean, we're instinctively wired that way. For some of it's stronger than others, you know, in certain areas. Others, it's stronger in other areas. For example, I consider myself as an innovator, which means what I do is I take a series of thoughts, observations, and ideas, and I assemble them into a process to create innovations. And I found that I'm very good at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what I do because it's just something that naturally I'm inclined to do. I'm very observant. That's one of my instincts. I'm very curious. The curiosity is a huge one. I am very, what's the word for it? My intelligence falls into the logical, mathematical, logical, according to what's the gentleman's name? Howard Gardner's research on multiple intelligences. So I know the way my intelligence works. I know where my intelligence lies, you know, and this kind of goes back into the, you know, my upbringing as a child, actually going through the whole process of remembering my IQ test, remembering when it actually occurred and remembering that I didn't do well on it because the teacher at that time, and I think it was third grade, wanted to do it over again because she knew I was sick the prior day before taking it. So she said, let me, you know, let you do it over again. I must have done horrible. What was so impactful about that moment was the fact that I remembered specifically that I wasn't sick. I don't know why I captured that memory. I wasn't sick. I was out for some other reason, but I know I wasn't sick. So I know I just failed that freaking IQ test. And it wasn't until high school where the counselor down in South Carolina, and I don't know what the motivation was there, but called me in, wanted to talk about my career goals and told me that my IQ was 90. I didn't know what it meant because obviously I wasn't attuned to it in high school, but I knew that if he's telling me that, A, he's directing me into certain trades and certain fields, and I know that was racist in itself. But the secondary thing is that he thought it was important that I had a low IQ, which meant that even though I didn't know what it meant, I took on the understanding of how impactful it was with regards to the rest of the course of my life.
Right, right.
And so that became my determining factor as to how successful I would be. Hell, I'm not smart. So, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to struggle through life. But it wasn't until really much later that, you know, it was one other factor that actually also had an impact on the direction I was going to take in my life. And that was, and I remember it distinctly as well. It was the day O.J. Simpson made his fateful ride in the Bronco. Because I had a date. We went down in the Philadelphia South Street and we went to a truthsayer, a palm reader.
Right, right.
And, you know, first date, and she did hers and came out and the lady did mine. And it came out and said that you will never be poor, but you will never be rich.
Interesting.
And I said, well, my God, you just determined the course of my life. Thank you. And I recognized it was one of the worst things that I could have ever done to allow someone who I didn't know, who meant nothing to me, to put something in my head that would be the ceiling at which I could climb no further. So I carried that for a long time, you know, with a series of jobs that I failed in various ways, and not understanding why, and understanding the fact that while I really wasn't good at what I was doing, I wasn't good at what I was doing because A, I wasn't applying myself, because B, I had no interest in doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember taking these trips to Europe for one of my jobs and traveling back and forth for periods of time. And the whole time when maybe I should be working in the hotel on the job, I'm working on my own innovations, my ideas, my concepts, and my business processes or thoughts. And that was really where I was focused, but I really wasn't able to lean into it, you know, based on money and everything else. But long story short, it was about a year ago when I finally, I was with someone. I was with my wife and a friend of hers in the Dominican Republic. And I remember looking at Christopher Columbus's more or less, I don't know, fortress castle that's built right there in the colonial zone, built back in 1493, I think by his son, actually. And I remember looking at the five large windows at the top, how one of the windows had this arch in it, small, but the others didn't have it. At the top, it was, you know, it was a, it kind of sloped in. And I couldn't figure out why. And that bothered me for a long period of time. Why is that there when the other ones don't have it? What reason does it serve? That was when her friend said to me, you know, you're very observant. And I never really thought about the fact that I'm more until she mentioned it to me. And I recognized, hey, that's something that I am. But I also recognize that my ideas, my innovations come from A, that observation, looking around, taking everything in that I see, making a print of it in my brain so I can recall it later on. And then B, wondering the question, the exact same thing I asked, why do I do that? Or what is that for? What does it do? And I ponder that and I try to come up with my own theories as to why it does what it does or why it was there. But then that's when you're able to get into what you had used the word before, flow, because you can start to figure out the fact that when you connect all these different whys, you start to create solutions to problems that exist. And when you start to look from the standpoint of how many other people are experiencing this problem, then you can recognize the market within that issue or that common pain that everyone's experiencing. That's when I started to recognize that, okay, that is my thing. I'm an innovator. And it's based on certain instinctive tendencies that I have based on my curiosity, my wondering, my pondering with respect to that mathematical logic for, you know, our intelligences. I'm also the creative side. So I pulled all these different instincts together that I naturally have a tendency of doing. And I started to recognize I can move that across other areas of my life and be successful in those other areas as well, because I was able to take control of my basic, what I call instinctive advantages.
Right. And that's what I find so fascinating, because I've definitely been doing a lot of like intrapersonal digging over the last few years. And I've definitely been noticing a lot more as time's gone on. My intuition's been telling me that I feel and I'm in flow, and the time just goes by really quickly when I'm talking to people like yourself and asking those kinds of questions. Cause in a way, when I'm hearing other people talk, I'm kind of, like you said, I'm gathering information on to help connect that why on like certain the reason I find people ask certain questions in the podcast is they're trying to learn certain concepts and apply those to their own, those concepts to their own life. And that's what's so remarkable about it.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's important to note is that, you know, again, we work with two different concepts. I work with what I call trying to identify our instinctive advantages, which are those series of things, those inclinations, tendencies that we all have, but really that when we execute them well, that's really when we're in that, to use your term again, mm-hmm. flow. That's when we find it, because we're naturally inclined to do those things. So what I do is I work with people to help them to do several things. A, understand what their natural inclinations are, which means we've grouped a series of what we call observance, you know, basically the way we experience the world. And we have our emotional side, you know, as far as the way we connect with others and how we handle things, our metaphysical side. And that goes into those intuitions, those what some people would say clairvoyance, ESP, but it's also that spiritual side of us. We also have our physical side. It's the body kinetics. It's how we move our body and how we're able to, for example, a Magic Jordan or a Michael, what's it called? Magic Johnson, rather, who was termed as having great court vision. He was able to see around the court behind him, calculate instantly where you are today versus where you're going to be 5 seconds from now, and be able to do things that other people weren't able to do because he was very good in certain things. That's that spatial intelligence he had a great deal of control over. But we help people to identify, A, those common instincts that drive them according to these certain categories. And then we also help them to frame it around a certain type of intelligence. Because going back to that whole thing about the IQ, you know, I didn't do well on the IQ test. And I remember the day and I remember what the test looked like, but I also had no relationship to it. I remember it was a series of shapes and numbers or numbers of dots, or I had that distinct memory of it, but I recognized the fact that what does it really bloody yeah. mean?
Yeah. It never made any bit of sense to me. And I got like a, I remember I probably got like a 110 or a 120 IQ, and they said that was extremely okay. low, and that.
So, well, you can imagine.
Yeah, how yeah. And then they're like, you know,
the 90 was just
yeah,
below
yeah, exactly.
average.
Exactly, that's exactly it. They said it was. I was just below average or whatever. And then I started yeah, digging, but, and it never really, it bothered me at the time because I was only in elementary school when I took it, elementary, and then I did it again in high school, and it was still right. still low, but. Like you say, the number one separator is, you know, do you work hard? And if you work, you know, if you continue to work hard, you're gonna develop your skill set. You're gonna, you know, develop those 10,000 hours into your trade. And then the biggest challenge is for a lot of people is finding out what that trade is over time, what your instinctive advantages are. But by being observant and looking, you know, deep within it, you will start to uncover it piece by piece.
Well, see, but here's the thing. Here's where we've all been duped. The thing is, the IQ test measures certain pieces as far as the way you process information. It looks at that mathematical logic. You know, it looks at your ability to be able to process information in certain ways. But you can't tell me an indigenous person from South America handling the, for example, the vegetation, the sky, the color of the water, doesn't have a certain amount of intelligence that that person who got 190 on an IQ just would not
yeah,
have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So,
all situational. There are 9 different types of intelligences, and that natural one, the naturalist one, those are the types of people that are more inclined to be the chefs, for example, or the outdoors type people. That's their space. Or you've got the musical one where that's that musician. They can understand timbre. They can understand tone, intonation as far as sound. Or you've got the linguistics person who's very strong there. But I think we have a lot of commonalities and we cross over. I recognize the fact even more so now that from the standpoint of that mathematical logic and reasoning, I'm actually very strong in that area. I just, at third grade, I didn't really understand the importance of even probably trying to do well on this thing that you're going to share with me. So, you know, we don't even take that into consideration. You say do your best. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going
to
engage.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's got to make sense to you.
I discounted
that. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Or,
what
do I care?
Yeah, yeah.
So you should be measuring me on my interests, on my determination, you know, not necessarily on how I'm going to do on this bloody test. So that's why I'm saying we all have different, up to 9 different types of intelligence. And if we start to recognize what yours are, then that's when you can really start to recognize where your greatness lies. It's not necessarily where you are today. And I think oftentimes you may fall into the flow when you're really kind of moving into where your intelligences
right.
are versus where you're being told it.
Yeah. Because a lot of times we're told, you know, people think what our intelligences are, but they still don't know, because they're not us, right?
Yeah. Well, we're not exploring ourselves either. Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of self-reflection. And again, that goes into my curiosity. I'm naturally inclined. I would be very high on a curiosity scale. But what we also do is we recognize the fact that people are different. And therefore, we recognize that we have 5+ basic senses, including sight, touch, sound, smell. We go and we ask you a series of questions with regards to certain instincts, but not just certain instincts. How do you actually, are you influenced by that instinct? How does that instinct exhibit itself? For example, fear is the one I commonly use. Fear, we see things visually that creates fear in us, or we think of things and we get the picture in our brain, it creates fear. So the visual is there. The auditorial, or the hearing, we hear things that make us frightened. My daughter would tell you she would touch things. Certain textures scare her, you know, just by touching them. So we can tactile, we can feel things that make us scared. What about as far as smell? You know, maybe we don't get that instinct of smell creating fear until possibly we've experienced possibly death of a person. And now we smell that again. That creates that fear because we have a connection. But what about that sixth sense? You know, that's there as well. But we walk through a series of instincts that we have, and we ask you questions surrounding all those different types of senses of how you experience those, to try to get an idea of where your space is, where you're actually, what you're more inclined to do than you possibly even would think. That's how we get a much better idea of who you are. And then we connect those to the intelligences to really get a better idea. So that's why I believe we dig deeper than even Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. Cause I was looking at those assessments and the nine different personality types, and
right.
Like, yeah, you go very in depth in it, because Myers-Briggs and those other personality tests, they're just scratching the surface, right?
Right. Yeah, they basically are, and they're looking at certain types of basically how you relate to others and how you relate, what type of person you are and how you relate, meaning how are you best apt to be able to work together. But we look into, or my goal was to look into, how are you best at performing, or where are you best at performing? For example, you know, I say we go after high performance people. And the reason why I say high performance people is because if you're not high performing, then you really don't even care. You know, you're not looking for that edge. And so you may not even consider what you're good at and therefore why you're good at it. But we help to understand, or help you to understand, the process that you employ when you exhibit that particular inclination that all comes together to create your greatness. And once we can get a better understanding of the process, that's when you can say, well, aha, now I can see how I can apply that in other areas and other things that I'm doing within my life.
Because I'm someone, for sure, I know 1,000% for sure that I want to perform at a high level, and I've always wanted to perform at a high level and compete and do the best that I can. And the common denominator that's always come across is, okay, like, which area is that specifically? Cause as you're going through life, you know, I thought that it was a particular area, and then I was wrong, and I was doing well at the time, but I didn't feel like I was performing at the level where I'm in that flow state. Right.
Yeah. Now, how often are you able to interflow?
I'm still learning, but I was definitely in a flow state for the first 2.5 to 3 years of my experience banking, because of the team that I worked with, and I was very autonomous, and it was one of those jobs where it felt like I was self-employed. So I took note of that, and what I realized was I definitely work extremely well within a team or on my own. But especially on my own, where I have that creative space to figure out how I work best. It's when those that tell me how to work, that's when it doesn't work as well. If they say, oh, things got to be done this way, that's where I tend to struggle. But when they're like, Alex, as long as you find a way to succeed or find a way to give the best service to our clients, then figure out the way that works best for you. That way it has always worked well for me. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I can see why. I can see how that would happen. I've worked for a number of different consulting firms. you know, I guess you'd call them Big Five, or that was the traditional way of referring to them. And I hated that existence. Oh my God, I hated the existence. Because A, going back to my other issues, I believe that I was not as good as the others. I believe that I was a sham and that they're going to detect it at any given moment, and therefore I'm going to be out anyway. But I also had other things I was dealing with, such as a very difficult divorce that really scrambled my whole sense of thought and direction for close to 7 to 10 years of my life. So not probably about 7 years of my life, but, you know, I hated that certain period, especially when I was working for the consulting firms, especially when you had all the young folks that were coming in, and I'm the older guy in there being, you know, 45 going into 50 years old, you know? So yeah, that was challenging for me.
Oh, for sure.
But I tell you one thing, I don't think I would do it any differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I think nothing is wasted unless you waste it. And I've captured pieces from that whole experience, that's helped me to really understand, again, much better who I am, what I'm good at, and where I'm able to go, because now I'm observant. Whereas before, you kind of move through and you're not really paying note to those lessons that you're learning through life. You know, it's conscious.
Yeah, it's you went from, you know, not being conscious to a very heightened, a very extra heightened awareness.
Yeah, because you want certain things, you know. I mean, but again, that's one of those instinctive tendencies as well to want, you know. Some folks don't want as much. I remember a friend of mine who had a guy she was dating, and she just loved this guy. This guy was the greatest guy in the world down in Virginia. Only problem with him was all that he wanted was a double wide trailer with a picket fence and a pickup truck. And she would say, but what about, don't you want this? That? But no, man, that's all he wanted. And I'm okay with that. You know, I wish that's all I really had a desire for, because I could be very happy and comfortable where I am. But no, other people are aligned in certain other directions that really make them want more. Kobe Bryant was a guy who worked mercilessly from the standpoint of working his body. Yeah. He really wanted it. So that's the difference. That's one of those tendencies that if you're high and you're strong in that space, he was physically driven that way. And that would have been one of his spaces where he was very strong.
And I don't know if you've seen that documentary on Netflix, Last Dance, with that details of the Chicago Bulls and their dynasty. Have you seen that one? Oh, yeah.
No, well, I didn't.
Whenever you get a chance, if you got some time, check it out. It's an amazing series. And they talked a lot they didn't really talk about Kobe Bryant, but when I did see the special on Kobe Bryant, he said he learned all of what he did from Michael Jordan, like the way he shot, the way he did a turnaround jumper, you know, and then the physicality part, learned all of it from Michael Jordan, and then the trash talking, of course. Yeah. So that's what I found super, super interesting, because now that I look back and I watch how they both played, when they were on the court and when Kobe was first coming into the league, yeah, he was picking up a lot of stuff from Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan...
Did they ever play together?
They never played together, but they played against each other when Michael was... They played against each other when Michael was on Chicago Bulls, when he was at the peak of his career with Chicago. And then when he came back for Washington, I think they played... L.A. played Washington, and we were still on Washington. But just that whole... Yeah. You know what you're talking about with the, you know, the physicality part, and all they knew was just super hard work and be in the best, you know, shape that they could to be the best at the game. You know, that really transcended the game for them, because they knew that they had a gift, but they worked twice as hard because they knew that they had a gift at it.
Yeah. Bruce Lee spoke about, you know, you don't do something paraphrasing. You don't do, 10,000 kicks. You do one kick 10,000 times.
Right.
They, you know, consistency, that is, it's so important, and they were very good at it. They knew what they wanted. They were driven in those directions. So, you know, I didn't know necessarily as much about how driven I was, until I started really to fall into the fact that, hey, I'm doing these things. And people keep telling me, how the hell are you doing these things? And, you know, I went through a very difficult divorce, as mentioned. And there was times with, you know, just the whole battle was just like, why are you doing this? Because you just have to, because it's the important thing is your kids. You're driven that way to take care of your kids and want your kids. So you can't, you know, no one would walk away. Well, people do, but other people don't walk away from that because it would be as unnatural as cutting off your arm.
Yeah.
You know, this is the same thing. You're driven that way. And that's the exact same way as Kobe Bryant was. You're finding your path right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like everyone has their own different drivers. And, I'm a very curious person as well. And I find it super fascinating when I get to talk to people and ask kind of, you know, what is driving them and what are your interests and, you know, what right. gets you up in the morning. Everyone has something that is their main driving thought that's guiding their day. Right. Or several driving thoughts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. You know, you went from, you said you're back to work.
So I went from 4 years in banking, 2014 to 2017. And then 2017 until now, it's been, I did a 7 or 8 months at a local newspaper. Cause I was just at a crossroads with banking. I'm like, I want to try something different. And I always wanted to try marketing. Right. So I did that for about 8 months. Okay. And then because I struggled. I wasn't able to, sell enough sales to stay there. So they had to let me go. And then after that, then I got into the job that I'm in now, and which is doing promo marketing, which has been an incredible experience. And as of right now, I don't know, you know, where I want to go with this, you know, this job, but I know that I've learned a lot of amazing skills, skills that I never even thought I would be good at. But it's been interesting because this job that I'm doing now, it's a lot about marketing. It's a lot about branding and a lot about logistics and you're crunching numbers and stuff. So it's very interesting. You're learning a lot of different things on the job. So, and like you said, each job has keeps giving me more skills that aren't necessarily easily duplicatable. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's funny when you think about Steve Jobs, for example, you know, the classic innovator, and he would talk about the fact that people would ask him, you know, will you teach me how to be innovative? And he thought it was just a very interesting question because, again, it was his natural inclination to look at certain things, to observe, to absorb, versus if that's not your natural inclination. I mean, you can train an instinct. But if it's not your natural inclination, it's just not who you are. And, you know, him over in, I think it was Asia, I'm not sure where it was, but he ran into a situation where there was he saw a rice cooker and recognized the fact that these rice cookers were detachable. The cords, if you walk through, I guess things were so cluttered in the apartments, but if you walk past, the rice cooker's drop cord would fall off, disconnect very easily. He took that and put that into his phones or his computers. You know, he carried things. The whole concept of the font and all these different types that we have came from a calligraphy class that he took. So it's a matter of observing, but then retaining, actively observing. You really have to ponder it, ask about it, and then that's how you store it. And then when you're ready to and you have a need to, that's when you're able to make those connections to pull them back out, to be able to come up with solutions to questions that people are having. And that's what he was good at. But how do you teach that to someone if that's not necessarily their natural tendency? There isn't somewhere else. It's just not a finding.
Yeah, and that's the biggest – that's the catch-22 is finding those natural inclinations. And I know I already have a sense of some, but – it's mm-hmm. not quite lasered in yet, or I haven't narrowed it down quite yet, but I know I'm getting closer. Each time I'm getting a little bit closer.
Well, here's what I'll do for you. You come and you take the survey and you walk through our process. Well, I'll do that with you for free. And we see what yours are. If you agree to doing my blog with me, or rather my YouTube channel, and also posting some comments and so forth.
Yeah, that sounds interesting to me. I'd be interested in that for sure.
Beautiful. We'll walk through the whole process and we'll, you know, videotape it and so forth. So you'll have that understanding. You can post whatever you need to post on your podcast, and we'll work it that way. Cause we'd both get something out of it.
I'd be very interested in that. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, really appreciate your time today, Ty, and got some awesome golden nuggets for me today. And really would like to have you on again for sure in the future. Cause I'm very intrigued by your whole thought process around, like, you know, the psychology of, you know, figuring out what our true instincts are and what makes us tick, and, you know, what really unlocks that our own personal strengths that set us apart and put us in the best position to succeed and feel fulfilled.
I think it's there. It's just a matter of recognizing really what it is. I mean, everybody knows it's there. It's just, you know, what will the clarity of what it is do for you, and how can you move your life forward?
Exactly. Exactly. And Ty, before we let you go, where can our listeners find you, like, on your website? I know you got your website, Think Different Nation, and then your Think Different Nation podcast. How often?
We are all on thinkdifferentnation.com, and we try to do one podcast per week plus one blog post. You know, but right now what we're going to be doing is we're really going to be leaning into doing most of our blog posts combined with our YouTube channel posts, all around just doing people's helping people to identify theirs for free, for gratis, for a period of time, just so we can really vet out our process of what we're doing. So if anyone's interested in that, reach out, come on to us, and let us know. We'll see about
right
setting
on.
You up.
Really appreciate your time, Ty, and you take care.
You as well, sir. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, talk to you soon, Alex. Bye for now.
All right. Cheers.
I hope you all enjoyed this special guest series episode brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. Again, this is your host, Alex Muir. And if you'd like to learn more about kind of what I do and this podcast, Mindset Podcast, you can check me out on my social media. I always post all my links of my social media in every episode that I post. And I share all my posts, my podcast posts, on my LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. So you'll be able to check out the podcast links on there. So if you want to connect with me, get to know me, I will be answering messages on there if you have any questions. And again, if you want to hear more episodes like these, or if you have any feedback, please let me know on social media. You can send me a message, or you can, feel free to follow my podcast, and be sure to, you know, keep checking in and see what I'm up to. I really appreciate everyone that listens to my podcast, and hope you guys all enjoyed, and see y'all next time. Take care.